Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. And this is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And with me, I have Andre from Spiritual Logic. And Andre, I know we've got some, I think, important topics to cover today. And hopefully people will share this video and like it and so on. Make sure everyone kind of gets sent it. So welcome Great. Back to the show. It's been a few weeks since we talked, but I know a lot's happened in that time, so there's no shortage of things to cover.
Yeah, exactly, man. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. As always, you know, I follow your interviews, and, you know, it's great that we can have awareness for what's happening in the world and this spiritual warfare and this global deception, you know, that's taking place. So, yep, you know me, Spiritual Logic for Truth on YouTube. And another channel, Following Christ, on YouTube. And I have a Rumble channel. Just look up Spiritual Logic. You'll probably find me. But it's great, man. We have to get to what's going on in this economic collapse and the hyperinflation and how the food supply is being manipulated to create this desperation, this disenfranchisement that's happening. So, sure, let's talk about the economic collapse. I mean, it's kind of worldwide, you know?
Yep, well, we're definitely, you know, seeing things hard here too. But I'm watching closely what's been happening with your tariffs and everything over there. And it's like, yeah, just so many fronts. Everything's going up. Everything except what people are taking home in their pocket.
You know, it's ironic that we have this fake government with full of billionaires and full of corporate people and technocrats, and their wealth is skyrocketing while the people are being disenfranchised, while they're trying to cripple our ability to survive. And then they're trying to act like there's government efficiency going on, like they're trying to. And I tell people what they're doing is they're considering people as waste, and they're basically using technology to replace the human element in society so that everything comes down to compliance. They laid a foundation for putting everybody as data in their digital ID on the blockchain, the Web3 platform. And this is why that the United States, among with the world government, is sabotaging the world economy. This is a engineered event. This is not nothing that's happening because of all these crises. Remember, they engineer the crisis through the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. And the terrors are a smokescreen, right? They're trying to hide this transition, this great reset with the terrors, with the theatrics going on in the international community, you know, of Canada and Mexico and China and Russia. These have become buzzwords to the people who are indoctrinated into this religion of politics, because it's really a religion where people are trusting and putting their faith in people and these systems, and they lack spiritual awareness to see what's really going on, to see how people are being exploited by their pride and their love of this world, and these deceptions and all of these social engineering tactics, you know, the divide and conquer, the order out of chaos. You know, you hear Trump keep talking about this golden age, and he almost says it too much. It's almost like he's mocking people. You know, no one's experiencing a golden age in the sense that it's anything good. It's satanic. You know, it's this rebirth of this beast system.
Yeah.
But the people are really, people are losing jobs. Industries are being replaced by automation, artificial intelligence, algorithms. And what people don't understand that this is going to cascade not just through the governments, but through entrepreneurship, through private businesses, everything, because they're changing the monetary system. People don't realize this is not just an employment shift. This is a change of the entire monetary system that people need to be aware of. So, you know, hyperinflation is a tool that they're going to use to justify why the government needs to use blockchain. Okay, they're saying, well, people can't survive. You know, they're going to need to keep a tally. And they're not keeping an honest tally. They're just putting things on the ledger that we have to trust. All of this falls down to trust. And, you know, do you believe their numbers? Do you believe what they're saying? And do you trust everything that they're doing, which, if you're wise and you believe in God, you do not, because you know that their agenda is satanic and they're bringing the world into their singularity of using technology. And that's what Project Stargate is about. laying down the AI infrastructure, the digital infrastructure. So when they sabotage the economy, they're going to implement technology to digitize everybody and this tokenized digital identity where you're functioning in a social credit driven system. And, you know, the mandates of 2020 and all that was conditioning to see how people respond to when your job is on the line. What will you bow down to? What will you conform to? It's actually turning it into a form of worship. And this is where biblical truth comes in, because people forget that the mark of the beast begins as a worship of the beast system, the worship of the image of the beast. And I don't know the details and the ins and out, but we see the foundation being laid. We see the psychological conditioning and warfare of people worshiping the system, trusting in these puppets. You know, these are not people who have your interests at heart. They're giving you lip service. They're tickling your ears. They're making false promises. Like for Trump, when this man first was selected, the first thing he said, he's going to fix everything that's wrong with the country. You know, imagine the level of gaslighting that some kind of puppet of government says that they're going to fix everything. Fix everything. That's superior gaslighting. There's no way in a system built on corruption that things can run functionally for people. What's happening is that corporations are becoming public and they're taking over, because the government has always been a corporation, but everything's being made public. What was in the shadows is being made public. And now you see technocrats and large corporations, which are just, you know, there's a fine line between government and corporations. Most of these big corporations started off as DARPA projects, and they use figureheads, these agents that were elevated to these positions to represent the government through the private sector. That's why there's, you know, the private sector and government are lock and step right now. They're just one big entity. And it's almost like the illusion that there's this system that cares about the interests of the people is just falling away. And now people are realizing the true nature of the world where, you know, it's just wicked people who are lying to you to establish a system of control. And Project Stargate is, I mean, they're talking about wasting money, but they just spent $500 billion to build an infrastructure of control, a digital prison to put people into functions through compliance. Like, people don't understand the CBDC is still in the books. They're just waiting for digital identity and the blockchain to get in place. They're already digitizing with smart technology, smart city construction, and all of this is so they can digitize and turn everything that we do, say, and how we move in space, turn that into data, and then use that data to determine what they perceive our value is, will be in this new society. And this is what they mean by golden age. They're re-qualifying you into this new society based on how you comply. So it's really sad. And I pray for people, because it's heartbreaking that people are going through financial hardships, they're losing their jobs, and all we get is a bunch of clowns in the political theater and political stage having chainsaws talking about how they're saving money while they're getting wealthier, you know?
And I notice it's kind of a trend around the world, really, that, you know, they're putting politicians into places of power, and then the people are dissatisfied with them. So, you know, they'll think they're voting in the next person or party, and that doesn't last very long till the people are sick of that one, and they think these people are no better than the last one, and then they start wanting the last one back again. Or, you know, or yes, whatever. And that's even happening here in New Zealand. And in America, when you look at Trump's ratings, say, I mean, he's still, it's a 50-50 divide. Half the country loves him, half the country doesn't like him at all. And it's like these people, it's the same all over the place. And you have people like Emmanuel Macron in France. It's like, how is that guy still there? Nobody likes him. You know, and yeah, yet they stay there until they're ready to take this person away and bring the next figurehead up who will get people thinking something's going to change for the better. But of course it doesn't, because it's what you're saying, that whole Hegelian dialectic. They have the left and the right, and they control both sides, and they move you to where they're trying to get you to go. They'll go a little bit that way, a little bit that way, but all the while it's maneuvering you to this whole system that the Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, New World Order, whatever you want to call it, that is the goal. That's where they're moving us. And they're just using whoever's in power to fulfill different parts of that agenda. And Trump is no exception.
Yeah, I mean, all the policies that he's promoting, you know, they have a superficial appearance of righteousness. You know, yeah. I tell people, he says, oh, we're bringing back a man and a woman. But ontologically, that becomes meaningless in the transhumanist paradigm. He's not bringing people back to the image of God. He's moving people into a transhumanist paradigm where the principles, biblical principles like gender and values and things that come from the Bible become meaningless. And because you're data, this whole infrastructure is about turning you into data. So what is the value of these preconceived attributes like that come from God if they're removing you ontologically away from God and moving you into this satanic singularity where the entire world is structured in this beast system that turns you into a cog in a wheel of compliance. And if you don't, you know, comply, then you're not qualified. You're not, you know, like I talk about tokenized society, where you just lose value to move around, to use your bank account. And that's what they want. They want to create a system where they just cut you off if you don't do what they say. And they're sabotaging the world through crisis. You know, 2020 was just one crisis. You go back to 2001. That was another crisis. Every crisis has a very precise and specific role to destroy some personal sovereignty rights, some freedoms, some and the government is so wicked that they try to rebuild this false trust by just saying, hey, we care about you. We want to stop peace. We want to bring peace and security. We want to, like, the food supply. Let's go to the food supply. You know, they're using the germ theory narrative, the viral theory narrative to justify why they have to destroy livestock and call the chickens. And they claim they're doing this for the greater good, to stop some kind of spread of something that no one can verify. And we know that their practices, you know, corporate farming exists now. So they're manipulating the animals. They're feeding them GMO. They're giving them antibiotics, steroids, and all kinds of procedures and inoculations that destroy the integrity of the animals. But then they're reinterpreting the effects of what they're doing as some kind of narrative that, you know, affects us. And we have to, you know, like the cost of eggs, the kind of pasture-free organic eggs that I buy, like $14 to $15 for 18 count. Mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous, because eggs is one of the best complete sources of protein and food. And same with the pasture-raised, grass-fed red meat. And I mean, and people think the vegetables are any better, but the vegetables have been compromised through genetic manipulation, breeding weak strands. Because what they do is, look, with the seedless grapes, they breed weak strands of grapes. If they're not altering the seed on a genetic, or I don't like the word genetic, but on a there is a level that they manipulate the seed. And if they're manipulating it to breed without a seed, anything that doesn't produce a seed loses its vitality, because God created food. Yeah. You know, the Bible in Genesis talk about every herb bearing a tree or will bear a seed that you can, you know, the seed is the life.
Yeah.
And they're removing the life source of the food, and the food becomes this empty, nutritionally deficient food that creates more problems in the body. You know, nutritional deficiencies, you know, the soils are depleted and all of this. And they're trying to use technology to override what they're doing intentionally to our food supply. And people don't, you control the food, you control the people. You know, a lot of people, and see, Trump said when he first got in office, oh, he's going to bring down the cost of food. Another lie. And I tell people, he had something on Truth Social, right, where he said people, he reposted what somebody said about complaining about the price of eggs. But if they don't care about your food supply, which they don't care about you. And this is what people don't understand. And they want to offer you, I mean, we already heard about eating bugs and CRISPR-grown meat and all this stuff that's going to tear up your body. And they want to just destroy your God-given vitality so that you live more in this virtual world. You know, people are already getting acclimated to a sickened state of existence. And in this sickened state of existence, virtual reality and living online, they're trying to make that more appealing, and they're trying to get people to hate the real world and good vitality. That's why they want virtual reality. They want you to jog on a TV and not jog in real life, or they don't want you to move in real space. They want you, okay, your body's weak, but we can put you in VR. We can get you in this digital realm, and we can sell you a lie and an illusion. And that's kind of where everything's moving. And people, you know, the Internet of Bodies is in place, where they have wearable technologies for these problems that are going to come up from, you know, the compromised food and the radiation and the environmental toxicity. They're going to give you wearable technology where you're more integrated into the Internet of Bodies, which is going to be tied into the new financial system, which is going to tokenize and turn your body activity data into a cryptocurrency. Bill Gates talked about this in his Microsoft 060606 patent, where they're trying to turn your bodily functions into their energy source in their currency, where they're like monetizing your compliance, monetizing your existence. And I tell people, CBDC is not the end goal. The actual currency that they're aiming for is turning your body into a living tokenized currency, where how your involvement in this Internet of Bodies is literally becomes a power source. And this is scary because if you saw movies like The Matrix, all the predictive programming, and I know there's a lot of satanic esoteric stuff, but they're trying to mimic, digitize the human brain and turn our cells into energy, into their new system, turn this biotechnological system. And this is what this Mark of the Beast assimilation comes into play, because people don't realize, and I talked about this on my channel, that the digital ID will eventually go to computer brain interfaces. And they're going to use computer brain interfaces because, according to them, this is NIH, that they can clone your other biometrics, your fingerprints, your iris scans, your facial recognition, your palm. All these things can be cloned. And they say the only thing that is secure, because they're going to use national security, you know, cyber terrorism as the means for why we have to digitize your brain, and your true identity is going to be an imprint of your brain signals and all that, because that's the most unique, unpredictable thing in you. And this is controlling the mind. The word government comes from the Latin governo and mentes, to control the mind. They've always been after your mind. The warfare has always been in the mindscape, because the mind is the seat of the soul, right? And so they got people indoctrinated, and they cater to their sinful nature, where they're literally worshiping the world and they're trusting in man, and they're so far removed from God that they don't even see their own sin that the world is using to exploit people by. You know, we're being exploited. Well, those who are lost are being exploited by pride, vanity, greed, all these platitudes that people like Trump and world leaders, we're going to make America great again. We're going to bring back all these things. And the, you know, industry, as we know it, is done. They're bringing in, like, Stargate is about transforming industry into artificial intelligence, which they say is going to go to artificial general intelligence and then artificial super intelligence, with, from my view, will be some kind of spiritual element, because artificial intelligence is just data. It's just collecting so much data, mimicking human patterns and human behavior to an extent, which we are corrupt. If you want to mimic the human mind, what better corrupt thing to mimic, right? That's not going to be good for us. You know, we need to be born again in Christ to actually have a renewed mind and a right thinking, to be functional the way God wants us to live and to love one another. But they're going to mimic the worst of human nature, exploit the greed of people. And the system is going to be built like that. It's going to weaponize itself against desperate people who are just trying to survive, who are weak in faith, who want to conform to anything just to survive. And this is why it's vital right now in this times that people come together, specifically people of faith in the body of Christ, who are spiritually aware of what's happening. And we support one another. We show love to one another. We build parallel economies. We share information. We bring awareness, and we start functioning as the body of Christ that we should when we come out of this world, and we start to truly build an infrastructure away from what they're establishing, you know? So I just wanted to touch on that for a second.
Yeah, well, while you were talking about that, I started to think about, you know, the land and how they're making it more and more difficult for people to be large landowners or have, you know, like they bring more and more red tape, more and more restrictions on what you can and can't do. You know, in the old days where people would live off the land and do everything as natural as possible, and that's become increasingly difficult. And they're saying, well, there's a housing crisis, you know, we need to free up things and all that. But what they do is they free up, make it easier for the stack and packers, you know, stack and pack buildings, not the people that want to own land and have space and live naturally. No, everything is designed for this smart city stack and pack kind of thing. And then the mega landlords like Blackstone that can snap up all of these things because everyone else has got no money. So then you have these colossal landlords. Like I mean, Blackstone is huge and growing all the time. And that's Stephen Schwarzman, who was a big donor to Donald Trump, by the way. He's, you know, the CEO of Blackstone. And Blackstone and BlackRock do still have some tie-ups too. I believe BlackRock still owns like 7% of Blackstone. And they both started from the same place. They were, Fink and Schwarzman were like together at one point, you know, and then they went their own sort of ways. But these BlackRock, Blackstone, a lot of these, they're mega powerful, mega rich. And the average person is becoming poorer and struggling. And as part of this digital economy beast that you're talking about, they want people in these little small cities, you know, stack and pack, high rise, no space, and where they can control you easier. And it is becoming increasingly difficult with legislation to live in any other kind of way because that's the way they're trying to push you into.
Yeah, I mean, they're paving the way for with job insecurity.
Yeah.
That's going to pave the way for UBI. And they're going to, you know, the government, you know, they're already teasing this little stimulus thing about $5,000 of dividends from their savings and whatever they're making up. But we know when the government starts giving you free money, hyperinflation is about to go through the roof, and they're basically saying, look, you know, you're losing your ability to be self-sufficient. You take away somebody's income, and then you give them a small fraction of what it needs to survive. You get them dependent on whatever you do, and this is setting the stage for government dependency. You brought up the housing. They're already running an experiment where the HUD in the U.S. is trying to put the HUD on the blockchain. And this is crazy because if they start tokenizing, they're turning houses into subscriptions. You know, it's like you qualify for staying in a house. I mean, people don't understand that like renting is going to become a subscription-based thing where you're going to have to, your tokenized identity is going to expire. You're going to have to requalify every now and again to make sure you have housing, you get whatever the government gives you. And they want to create this federation where everybody is, you know, they're using technology to make skills less relevant, right? Because the human element of skills is decreasing, and it's only a very small fraction of skills they're going to make it through this transition into this new digital artificial intelligence world. And so now they're getting everything where it's all about compliance, it's all about social credit. The government was going to create this socialist kind of lifestyle where they do so much in this new infrastructure. And all you have to do is comply, engage, assimilate into technology. You know, I think sooner or later, the jobs are going to require the internet of bodies where you have to put wearable or interface technology to use computers to work in these new systems. And a lot of people are just going to cave in and they're not preparing themselves for what's coming because, you know, Trump is just gaslighting them with, oh, we're going to make everything great again. And they're believing this person instead of seeing what's happening right in front of their eyes. I mean, you brought up the land and we saw what happened with the farming. They destroyed local family owned farming with regulations and fines and claiming that, you know, illness was being spread because they wasn't, you know, doing things. And it's just sabotage. They sabotage. Now farming is corporate farming, is owned by corporations. And they are going to use technology and stuff to grow and manipulate food. And they're going to say we can produce more food, but the quality of what they're producing is going to be garbage. It's going to be fake food. And it's going to be for like basically cyborg engineered people who need little nutrition but a lot of technology. Oh, you have an illness? Just put on this wearable technology, put in this implant, put in this brain implant. They don't even care about your wellness anymore because they want more integration with technology because it gives them more control. It gives them more access to control your mind, to turn your body into an energy source. If you notice that so many different sources of energy, now that they got artificial intelligence coming out, you got Li-Fi, you got photonics, you got all these new sources of energy that they waited for people to move so far from God. This technology has always been around, but they had to wait for people to become so spiritually dead and morally bankrupt to think that this stuff is a good idea, that they can sell it to the public. And people are just eating this stuff up. They're still spiritually gone. And so all they care about is this illusion of prosperity, this illusion of peace, even though all we see is more violence, more despair, more poverty. It's almost like, you know, they're baiting the rat with cheese on a string. And they just keep moving it away and people are running towards it that they don't even see what's right in front of their face. People don't care. The love of many is waxing cold. People don't care about what people are losing jobs until it's them. They don't care. People are becoming callous, heartless. And they're turning this government into entertainment where they're cheering the people losing their livelihoods and their jobs and all this stuff. And it's just all this psychological warfare and spiritual warfare. It's just setting the stage for worship where people are going to hate you because you don't conform to this new system. It already happened in 2020. We were hated when we didn't wear face coverings. We were hated when we didn't believe the narratives, when we didn't trust the experts. Mm-hmm. We were ostracized. We were hated. Our family turned against us. Yeah. Many of us were isolated. And the good thing is we came to unified the body of Christ, the true body of Christ. I'm not talking about buildings and 501c mm-hmm. agents of government. But the true body of Christ has become more unified because we see the true nature of what's going on. And that's why politics has become a religion. It's become a secularized religion where people, they fall for the superficial, vain, external, false surface level righteousness. That's just for show. Like, Trump says, oh, we're going to bring back a man and a woman, but he wants to promote transhumanism. He has a transhumanist at the top of his cabinet, his administration. Somebody who wants to put brain chips in your brains, determining what's efficient in government. Or someone, the richest man in the world, thinks he can care about the poorest people in the world. It's kind of weird polarization in this weird bizarro clown world that we now live in. And this is why I tell people we have to preach the gospel. We have to represent Jesus Christ biblically so that people can see our sin, because until we see ourselves, we won't see the world. And they're exploiting lost people who only care about greed and vanity. This is why social media is the perfect infrastructure for them to promote all this stuff, because all this popularity, all this greed and this vanity is the perfect temptation to sell what they're trying to get people to buy. And it's very sad that people they just believe everything they hear. It was with the television. Now it's the internet. People are more comfortable with just talking on the internet, but not doing things in practicality in their real life where they actually, we don't conform to, for many people, we see the pharmakia industry and we've come out of it. We started to look back to the way that things should be. God's natural design for, taking care of ourselves, eating well, coming out of bad habits, lifestyles, living more minimalistically, being less dependent on what the government is doing and trying to find employment where we're more hands on. We control more of what we're doing. There have been industries that have sprouted up from this catastrophe where people saw a need of people who come out of the world in the system, and they're addressing that need. And that's a good example of a para economy. People are becoming, in the body of Christ, becoming more family oriented to protect our families, to come out the public indoctrination, Rockefeller systems and all these things. And it's actually, and unfortunately, this is going to be a remnant. This is not going to be a large scale thing, but the remnant of those people who are spiritually aware in Christ are going to become more grounded. We're going to become more protective of our families, of our household, of our communities. And we're going to start caring about our food supply, supporting those who do engage in local farming, local farms, and start supporting people locally and things like that. Because mainstream politics is a distraction. The system is already in transition. It's already scripted to tear down. Right now, this tariff war, this artificial intelligence is just giving people a distraction while they pull the rug under your feet. There's things happening in the background, occasionally, like the airplanes. We saw in the U.S. airplanes were just mysteriously falling down. And now Elon Musk, he wants to bring his Starlink and his AI, artificial intelligence, to take over the FAA. So now you got the FAA running an artificial intelligence, and it's the same thing. I'm not going to say how these planes came down. I just think it was very mysterious. But interesting now that they want to bring in Starlink and use all this technology. What is the conflict of interest with somebody in government is using their own business to promote themselves in a crisis that looks very engineered? I think that's highly suspicious. And anybody who has critical thinking skills should just look at this and see, oh, there's a huge agenda to all of these things. Yes, they will. We saw what happened with the wildfires. They will destroy whole environments to build smart cities. They will displace large amounts of people so they can't live in rural areas to corral people into these 15-minute smart cities. Like you talked about, this apartment, condos, not even condo, but like you say, stacking people on top of each other in this very small scale, and then saying, well, you have a gym in your basement, you have a supermarket in your basement, and everything's within 15 minutes. That's the whole 15-minute concept. Everything, you don't need a car. You know, they're going to have driverless cars. Elon Musk has rolled out a whole fleet of driverless cars to flood, and driverless taxis. And it's a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, that straight away tells you that Elon Musk is not for the average person. He's not for, you know, the true humanity. When you come to creating things driverless and all that, it sounds like technology advancing and that, but basically it's just cutting people out, the need for people out. All of this stuff with the AI, we don't need your job anymore because AI can perform it. You know, and that is, this is where it's going, and it's like not a pretty picture at all. And when you think that you have these people in power having your interests at heart, and they're all billionaires, and we're all like little people with not much, do you really think they care? I mean, Trump is just the man for the moment, and he's got all these people there. Because I believe he was selected and put there for this time, but when he surrounded himself with billionaires, those people get to be billionaires not because they care for the average person, but because they can be ruthless for their goal, basically.
They care so much about money, they don't care about people. And it's like the idolatry of wealth to the point where we diminish the value of people. We diminish the value of life. And so far now, people, they don't care. Like, when it comes to advancement, they think advancement is just, it leaves people in the dust. It doesn't bring people with them. It's like, if you don't conform to the technology, then they're going to label you as part of the problem. Yeah. And this is just sad. I mean, this whole thing about the government is just being, the government is being rebranded where we have AI governance, right? They don't want, I mean, it was already corrupt with people. But now it's being rebranded through artificial intelligence to accelerate the corruption and have a wider range that they can apply the corruption on a much wider scale. Now, with artificial intelligence, smart cities, it can infiltrate every part of society, your home. They want smart technology in your home so they can spy on you, they can track you, they can collect data on you, what you're watching. And they're going to use this stuff to manipulate people who are already lost, who are spiritually dead, unaware. And they're going to lock you out. The moment you try to rebel against the system, you know, because everything's now on the grid, electrified, they just hit a button and you're cut off. I mean, they want to put smart locks in your house. They want a refrigerator that won't open unless, you know, you're qualified. I mean, imagine you can't open your refrigerator or you can't enter your home because it's on a smart lock. And the smart lock is controlled by remote, by the government. They centralize everything. And it's going to be promoted as convenience. Oh, we're just trying to make everything run smoother, and people are, you know, they, you know, the government is still corrupt, but they purposely outed some corruption to bring in this technology, right? They leaving the corruption in there, like Epstein, the whole Epstein thing is a joke. They're not going to call out all these people. You know, everybody involved in mainstream politics is part of that whole thing, but they're not going to bring it out. It's just theatrics to give people this illusion that they're digging and they're getting rid of corruption, but they're not touching the people who are actually the main figures in this corruption. They're not touching them. They won't touch Bill Gates. They won't touch Trump, the left-right paradigm, Fauci pardon. They both played a role. Fauci, you know, Trump is on record saying he enjoyed Fauci, and then he's coming off talking about, you know, Fauci did this. And it's just scripted theatrics, the dialectic. You know, they're painting one side to look better so that you can go to the other side within the same system. It's like, what would you rather, the overt evil or the deceptive evil? They're both evil. One is just going to lie to you while the other one is just telling. And see, the left was scripted to be the overt, in your face corruption. But the other one is deceptive. They're just saying everything that's good, but their corruption is built off the left. Like I said, the LGBT narrative is progressing into transhumanism. All of it is moving away from God ontologically, away from his image. And so it just progresses. And the natural progression is to move further away, where people don't even want to be people anymore. They want their identity through technology. They want it through the pride of the world and the status and the prestige and everything that the world gives you. And that's where the digital identity is becoming the new patriotism, the new thing. You know, people are already boasting of how many procedures they got from, you know, the government narratives. Oh, I got 7-8 procedures because I believe that, you know, this is what I need to do for my well-being and all this stuff. I mean, people are turning this worship into the government, to their identity. You know, what did you do? People didn't never talk about their medical records and their health information. But all of a sudden, it became very a point of discussion at the dinner table about how many procedures did you get? You know, what do you think is going on? Like, when I hear people talk about COVID times, as though this is some kind of, you know, some weird real thing. I'm like, I get the terminology, but understand this is an engineered thing where they want you to believe that this is, I mean, Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab said they had to use 2020 to bring in what they're bringing. They literally said they needed this to establish the totalitarian technocracy, the fourth industrial revolution, where, like Klaus Schwab said, it doesn't change what you're doing, it changes you. The ultimate goal is to get us, to get people. And I tell people, Satan, you know, I hear people talking about, well, if they wanted to hurt you, they can just do it. Well, Satan wants your worship. He's the god of this world. The infrastructure is a platform for you to worship the system. And people are going to do that because as they start losing amenities and creature comforts, people are going to start conforming and start accepting what's being promoted. And that's how the worship starts. What profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? And that's kind of the theme of the beast system. People are going to start throwing away more and more until eventually they throw away their soul to be something and to gain something in the world. Of course, people in Christ are not going to do this. We're going to endure to the end. We're going to persevere. We're going to overcome until the Lord calls us to be with him. We're going to just continue to live out our faith. We might have persecution and adversity, but that's just life. We understand the nature of this world, and we do what we can to bring the love of Christ and to help and love, show love to our neighbors and find alternative ways to not compromise. But in the meantime, that's what we do. That's how our faith is expressed. And so I tell people, I don't have fear. Yeah, I know sometimes I have to be wise and I have to be aware, but fear is a tool that they use. Awareness, love, and preaching the truth of God that exposes a wicked world is a tactic that we use. You know, we don't use fear. We have enough anxiety. We're trying to come out of anxiety. The world is trying to stress you out. They're trying to make you worry about things. But that's why they destroyed the family element, because family was a support system where we don't have to go out and worry about what corporations are doing. We have this internal insulation, this internal structure of God-given people, because a family is it. God, if it's not in Christ, it's not a family. They just use the word, just like marriage. They're using, the secular world is using words, gutting it away from God, and it becomes meaningless. because a family without God is just a whole bunch of individuals who are going to compete to conform to the world at the expense of loving one another. And that's what we see. That's why families are breaking up over what politics are doing or what the world is doing. And that's not how family is supposed to be. It's supposed to be built on God. And we support one another when people have to lose their jobs and come out of the system. And we build new opportunities within the family where we can help one another and support each other. And like you said about the land, they don't want people to own land, to grow food, and to have the means to survive outside of what they're doing. And all, like, fines and regulations and new, the Real ID Act is coming out in May in the US. You have to get the Real ID and a passport with the chip in it. And you don't have to freak out over that, but that's gonna lead to, when they connect that to your financial institutions and stuff, then your identity is gonna control what kind of access you have into life. And they're gonna merge all these things together, the economics, the identity, and their biotechnological procedures to augment and corrupt your bodies to get you ready for assimilation. This is really a really anti-Christ agenda. And the so-called, and look, true Christians are those who believe in Jesus biblically, but this false apostate religion that's going around where everybody's just using the term Christian and church loosely, but they're really showing their allegiance to the world, is how a lot of people are moralizing, and they're trying to spiritualize what Trump is doing. They're claiming that he's doing something for God, and people have this unbiblical understanding of Israel and all this other stuff, and they're just taking the secular, select the secular political narratives. They're running with it. They think it's God's will. And it's just real weird and real disheartening that people are thinking that, you know, if anything, God is judging the world. He's not using Trump for anything but to bring judgment. So you're not supposed to trust. It's supposed to be a call to repentance and a call to faith, not to trust in these people.
True. Yeah. And I guess as Christians, we have to keep our focus on the right things and on Jesus ultimately, and stay in the Word, and encourage ourselves when we, you know, because it can be easy to get discouraged and when you see so much of this stuff going on around you, and there's not a lot of hope in a worldly sense, but our hope has to be in Jesus Christ, and in our hope is not for this life so much as for, you know, the rewards that await us on the other side anyway. But, yeah, it's definitely a challenging time. And you get people like, you know, the other side of things, you get people like George Soros funding people to protest Elon Musk and all of that kind of stuff. And, again, it's just the Hegelian dialectic, because Soros is still, you know, always looking for the world order, you know. And basically he's just another player in the Hegelian dialectic, taking us to where they want us to go. I mean, burning down some electric cars and protesting various things that Musk does. In the end, it'll be used to play into this whole system, that, you know, to set up the controls, you know, and the monitoring and all of that.
They're purposely destroying, I mean, they're destroying the old guard where, you know, we had people, because the people didn't really care about the people, but it gave this illusion that people had influence, you know, like the government cared about the affairs of the people. Now they're just removing that and just saying, hey, we need to get, they're putting up clowns like Elon and Trump so that people can say, yeah, we need technology, and technology is going to come off as efficient, as unbiased. It's not going to take a side, even though it's programmed to take a side, but it's going to be sold as though it's not going to have the corrupt human element like we see of politicians and stuff. But it will. It's already, the algorithm is already scripted for the beast system. But it's going to be sold like, oh, this is better than Elon Musk. We're just going to have people, and the technology is going to just get the job done without the bureaucracy. But the bureaucracy is in the technology. It's all hardwired. You know, Elon Musk is a bureaucrat, but he's talking about getting rid of the bureaucrats. But he's the biggest bureaucrat that circumvents whatever illusion of a process that they claim exists. And it's just like a big deception. And I think people see what's going on, but cognitive dissonance, because, like you say, a lot of people don't see the goodness that Jesus died for our sins, that we have eternal life, we have redemption through what he's done, and that the world is, and because of sin, the world is a broken place, and we endure to the glory of God, that we can share the good news, share the love of God, and be the light of the world. Instead of looking for the world to be a light, in Christ, we're the light. And I think the Antichrist is going to present the world as a light, but those in Christ, because of him, we're going to become the light. We're going to preach the kingdom of heaven. We're going to preach the gospel that people who are heavy laden and burdened can find rest, because this world is going to wear you out. And, you know, like you say, our identity is in Christ. Our place is to be with Christ and not in this life. You know, this life is our opportunity to know God, to know our sin, so we can understand his love. We can understand we were created to glorify him, to live for him. And we want to share that. And this life is about sharing that love and showing that our love in Christ is not contingent on what's happening in the world or what's happening in our personal lives. We can all suffer because Christ suffered for us, that we can partake of his glory. And I think that's a good thing. And I think people should, just to think, we were all wicked sinners before we come to Christ. And just the fact that I can receive salvation in spite of myself, that I can be redeemed, that gives me hope and joy, because we're all going to die. You know, this is passing away. We see, if anything I learned from this world is that it's passing away, just like we age. You know, I look at myself, I'm almost in my mid-40s. I'm like, whoa, I was just a kid. Everything's passing away, you know, and the world is passing away with it. And it's almost like God is telling you, focus on him. Don't focus on this. Focus on him. He lasts. His word endures forever. And his word will be a lamp unto your feet. It will guide you. His spirit will keep you. And I've seen it happen. I mean, there was a time in 2020, I didn't think how I was going to get through that. I thought that they were going to put me in an internment camp or something. But here I endured it. You know, I persevered, uncompromised. Yes, I took a loss with jobs and I had all kinds of issues going on, but I'm persevering. I'm still fighting the good fight of faith. And I'm just going to continue to do that, you know?
That sounds good. So where do people find you online again? I know you mentioned it at the beginning, but perhaps remind people again before we close off where they find you.
Yeah, Spiritual Logic on YouTube, Spiritual Logic for Truth. People call me Hulk because that was what I had a name when I first got online. People knew me because that's what my screen name was. But, you know, a Spiritual Logic for Truth. I have a backup channel, Following Christ. On YouTube, just type in Following Christ. You'll see me on there. And then I have a health channel, Spiritual Logic, wellness channel. I have a Telegram, Spiritual Logic on Telegram. Just type in that. You can see my channel. I have a Rumble channel, Spiritual Logic. I try to make it simple. You know, everything Spiritual Logic. I have all my links on my main channels on YouTube. So just go to my main page. You'll see all my links. Go to my live streams. Go into the description box. You can see all my links. And you can find places. I even have an Odyssey. Although, you know, I have streams that YouTube removed, I put up on there just for archiving purposes. That's what kind of what Rumble is, to archiving in case, you know, if something happens, because you know how YouTube and censorship is. So, yeah, but yep, that's where you can find me. And like I said, it's great to be here, man. It's good to talk with people who see what's going on, who are spiritually awakened in Christ, that we can, you know, it's kind of how we vent, but also how we just spread awareness. We can connect around the world. Because people are waking up and people are doing things about what's happening so that they don't find themselves compromised on very bad situations from trusting the world, you know?
Yeah, true. Yes, it's always good to chat and talk and bring these things out. And then hopefully the listeners can connect as well, which, you know, as I said in the beginning, make sure you share this and like it and so on, and subscribe to both of our channels and so on. So thank you for being on the show again today, Andre. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And folks, don't forget our website is aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us, and we have articles and so on that you'll find only there and not on other platforms. And also, we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. If you want to help by donating, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com, and it's always much appreciated. And the music used, I've written, played and recorded. God bless, God willing, we'll be back in a few days' time with another episode.